Welcome to the Nickel Plate Nordic Podcast. In this unique podcast, everything you hear, including the voices, is computer generated. We're not professional voice actors. Instead, we've harnessed the power of artificial intelligence to bring you insights straight from the latest scientific research. Each episode is crafted using published journals or articles, analyzed and summarized with tools like Google Notebook LLM to make complex information easier to understand and more accessible. Today's episode dives into an intriguing article titled Cross-Country Ski Skating Style Subtechnique, Detection and Skiing Characteristic Analysis on Snow Using High Precision GNSS. Curious to explore the original study? Visit our website for direct links to the source and more details. Now, let's glide into the conversation.
Okay, get this. We're diving into Olympic-level cross-country skiing today, but with a super high-tech twist. I'm really excited to dig into this research with you. It's like the perfect blend of athleticism and cutting-edge tech.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? It's crazy how technology is giving us this microscopic view of athletic performance.
It really is. So today's deep dive is all about this research article from Sensors Journal. The title is a mouthful, though. Ready for this? Cross-Country Ski Skating Style Subtechnique Detection and Skiing Characteristic Analysis on Snow Using High Precision GNSS.
Quite the title.
I know, right? But let me break it down. Basically, we're talking about GNSS, think GPS, but way, way more accurate. And they're using it to analyze how skiers move during races.
Yeah, GNSS uses this whole network of satellites to pinpoint locations with crazy accuracy, like down to the centimeter. In this study, they actually put a GNSS device right on the skiers' heads to track their movements, you know, as they're skiing.
Like a high-tech ski hut. I love it. And just to be super clear, we're specifically talking about the skating style of cross-country skiing, not the classic style.
Right. That's an important distinction. Skating is way more dynamic, like speed skating, but on snow. And even within skating, there are all these different sub-techniques skiers use depending on the terrain and like their strategy.
Got it. So picture this. We've got two skiers. One is this seasoned pro, a former member of the Japanese national team, and the other is like a rising star in the U15 category. They're racing on this 4.1 kilometer course in Japan. And all the while, this GNSS device is recording their every head movement.
And to make sure the GNSS data was accurate, they also filmed the whole race so they could compare what the GNSS was picking up to what they were seeing on video.
Smart. So the big question, did actually work? Was the GNSS accurate?
Oh, it was incredibly accurate, like scarily accurate. It correctly identified the subtechnique something like 95 to 98.8% of the time. That's as good as, if not better than, other studies that have used GNSS. And some of those were on, you know, smooth roller ski tracks.
Yeah.
So this really shows that high precision GNSS can handle the real deal, snowy, unpredictable courses.
That's seriously impressive. Okay, so before we get into the nitty-gritty of what they found, can we talk about these skating sub-techniques? The article mentions like G2, G3, G4, and G6P. Oh, and G1, G5, G6N, and G7. It's like we're suddenly talking about Star Wars droids.
It does sound a bit like that, right? But yeah, each of those Gs represents a different sub-technique. You can kind of think of them like gears on a bike. The researchers focused on G2, G3, G4, and G6P because those are the ones used on flat terrain or uphill where skiers are actively pushing with their poles.
Okay, so why were the other ones left out?
Well, G1, that one's for like super tough uphill climbs, and it just didn't show up in this particular race. And G5, G6N, and G7, those are all downhill techniques where skiers aren't really using their poles as much, which makes them tougher to classify accurately just based on head movement.
Makes sense. So back to the Gs that were analyzed. The GNSS didn't just identify them, but it actually looked at specific characteristics of each one, right?
Exactly. They looked at things like average cycle length, which is basically how far the skier travels with each stroke cycle, and then cycle time, which is how long it takes to complete a cycle. And from those, you can calculate the skier's velocity. They also factored in the course inclination, basically how steep the terrain was where each technique was used.
Wow, so much data. This is where it starts to get really interesting, right?
It totally does. But before we jump into that, you know, it's worth noting that this study wasn't actually designed to, like, directly compare the two skiers. It was more about proving how effective the GNSS tech is. But even so, some really interesting performance differences did pop up.
Ooh, I love when that happens. Like, what kind of differences are we talking?
Well, one of the things they found was that even though they were racing on the same course, the two skiers actually used those sub-techniques differently. Like they used them with different frequencies and tended to favor different ones. For example, the more experienced skier used G4, that's the fast flat terrain technique, way more than the younger skier.
So they were essentially skiing the same course in different ways.
Exactly. Which suggests that technique selection isn't just about what the terrain is doing, but it's also about the skier, like their fitness level, their skill, even their individual strengths and weaknesses. It's deeply personal.
That's super interesting. So it's not just knowing what the techniques are, but it's knowing when to use them and how to like tailor them to your own abilities.
Exactly. It's like this secret language between mm-hmm. the skier and the terrain. And this technology is like letting us eavesdrop on that conversation for the first time.
So cool. Okay, spill the beans. What specific performance differences did they find? What stood out to you?
Well, as you might expect, G4 came out as the fastest technique overall, and it was mainly used on the flattest parts of the course. Makes sense, right? You want to maximize your glide and minimize effort there.
Mm.
G2 was used on the steepest inclines and was the slowest, which, again, makes sense. But here's the thing. The experienced skier tended to use faster techniques even on those steeper inclines compared to the younger skier.
So he was basically like powering up those hills with more style and efficiency because of his skill and experience.
Yeah. And his technique selection was also more consistent overall, which suggests a more refined and strategic approach to the race.
It makes you wonder what's going on in his head as he's skiing, you know? Like, is he playing a mental chess game with the course, planning his moves based on the terrain and his energy levels?
Right. It's fascinating to think about. And this technology gives us a glimpse into that mental game, which, you know, before we could only guess about.
Incredible. So we've established that high-precision GNSS can tell us a ton O-N about cross-country skiing techniques and performance. But what about the rest of us who aren't Olympic-level skiers? Why should we care about this?
That's the million-dollar question, right?
Yeah.
And the answer is, it's not just about skiing. This technology has implications for any sport where technique is a major factor.
Oh, I see what you mean. So we're talking running, swimming, cycling, basically anything that involves coordinated movement.
Exactly. Think about it. You could track a runner's foot strike patterns, their stride length, all in real time. Or analyze a swimmer's stroke efficiency, their body rotation, all with incredible precision.
It's like having X-ray vision for athletic performance. You could pinpoint these tiny little areas for improvement that you would never see with the naked eye.
Exactly. And that's where the real power of this technology lies. It's not just about collecting data. It's about turning that data into actionable insights, helping athletes, you know, reach their full potential.
Okay, so we've gone from high-tech ski hats to potentially revolutionizing sports training across the board. This is blowing my mind a little. So this study really leaves us with a lot to think about, huh?
It really does. This research is like a window into the future of sports performance.
It's amazing to think about all the possibilities. It could be a game changer for athletes of all levels, not just Olympians.
Right. And that's what's so exciting. Like right now, this kind of in-depth analysis is probably only happening in those like elite training centers.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine a future where anyone could use it.
Okay, I'm picturing it. What would that look like?
Think about it. We could have GNSS devices that are so tiny and affordable that anyone could use them. A runner, like just going for their morning jog with this little device tracking every stride, and then bam, they get this personalized feedback on how to improve their form, their efficiency, maybe even reduce their risk of injury, you know?
That would be incredible, like having a personal coach running right next to you, analyzing every move you make.
Exactly. And it wouldn't just be for running, right? Imagine a swimmer getting instant feedback on their stroke or a cyclist learning how to, like, optimize their pedal stroke for maximum power. The possibilities are endless.
It's starting to sound like a sci-fi movie. Like, we're all going to have these tiny, super intelligent devices telling us how to move.
It's not as far off as you think.
Mm.
The technology is basically there. It's just a matter of making it, you know, smaller, cheaper, easier for everyone to use.
So based on what we're seeing in this study with the skiers, what do you think are some of the like the biggest potential benefits of this kind of tech for, you know, everyday athletes?
Well, I think one of the biggest things would be injury prevention. By being able to analyze movement patterns in such detail, we could spot these like subtle imbalances or inefficiencies that might lead to an injury down the road.
That makes a lot of sense. So many injuries are caused by like bad form or overuse. So if you could catch those things early, it could prevent a lot of pain and frustration.
Totally. And another big benefit, I think, would be motivation and engagement. Having access to this kind of data can be really empowering. you can actually see your progress, which keeps you motivated and on track to reach your goals.
Oh, I totally agree. For me, seeing those numbers and that progress, it's huge for motivation.
Right. It takes the guesswork out of training. You're not just blindly doing the same thing over and over. You're actually seeing the impact of your efforts, which can be really, really rewarding.
So we've talked about how it could help individual athletes, but what about the bigger picture? Do you think this technology could impact professional sports, maybe even change how we think about competition in general?
That's a great question. And I think the answer is yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Imagine being able to use this technology to, like, scout new talent, analyze your opponents, even develop game strategies in real time.
I can see it now. Coaches all huddled around screens, dissecting their players down to the millimeter, looking for the, like, one tiny advantage.
Exactly. It would bring this whole new layer of strategy and analysis to the game. Mm. And not just for the coaches, but for the fans too. Imagine watching a game with overlays that show you, like, the biomechanics of each player, their speed, acceleration, their energy output. It would be insane.
That would be wild. It would make sports even more exciting and engaging for the audience, right?
Totally.
Oh.
And I think it could also lead to a deeper appreciation of athleticism, you know, when you see the incredible precision and coordination required to perform at that level. It really makes you appreciate these athletes even more.
It's one thing to see someone run super fast or jump incredibly high, but it's another thing entirely to understand the mechanics behind those movements.
Right. And this technology can help bridge that gap. Mm-hmm. You know, it can make sports more accessible and understandable for everyone, even if you're not an expert.
I feel like we've just scratched the surface here. Where do you see all this going? What are you most excited about in the, like, the long-term future of this?
One thing that I think is really exciting is the potential for, like, real-time feedback during a competition. Imagine a skier getting feedback on their technique, speed, even how much energy they're using, all while they're racing down the mountain.
Wait, so you mean like they'd be getting coaching as they're competing?
Exactly. Think of it like having this virtual coach right there in your ear, whispering tips and adjustments based on what you're doing at that very moment. Mm-hmm. It could completely change how athletes train and compete, allowing them to make, you know, split-second adjustments and push their limits even further.
Wow, that would be pretty amazing. But I don't know, could it also be a little, like, overwhelming? I mean, that's a lot to process, especially when you're in the middle of a competition.
Yeah, that's a good point. It would definitely be a lot of information. I think the key would be to develop these systems so they give feedback in a way that's, you know, effective, but also easy to understand.
So finding that balance, right,
mm-hmm.
between too much information and not enough.
Right. We need to strike that balance. The goal isn't to overload athletes with data. It's to give them just what they need to perform their best.
So how do you think this could be integrated into different sports? Would every sport use it the same way, or would there be, like, variations depending on the sport?
That's a great question.
Hmm.
I doubt it would be a one-size-fits-all kind of thing. The way it's implemented will probably vary a lot depending on the sport, the level of competition, even down to the individual athlete's needs.
It's cool to think about how customizable it could be. It really opens up a world of possibilities. But, you know, with all this potential, there must be some challenges too, right? Like, what are some of the things we need to think about as this technology gets more popular?
Yeah, for sure. I think one of the biggest challenges is going to be making sure the data is used responsibly and ethically. You know, we have to think about privacy, make sure that athletes have control over how their data is being collected and used and shared.
Privacy is huge, especially when we're talking about this kind of, like, granular personal data.
Definitely. And we also need to be careful about, you know, accidentally creating an even bigger divide between those who have access to this tech and those who don't. We need to make sure it's accessible and affordable so it doesn't become this thing that only, like, the elite athletes can benefit from.
I see what you mean. We don't want to end up with this two-tiered system, right? Where only the people with resources have the best training tools.
Exactly. We need to make sure that everyone can benefit from this technology and that it's actually helping to level the playing field, not make it more uneven.
There's definitely a lot to think about. It's exciting and a little scary at the same time. It's making us rethink the future of sports in a whole new way.
I know, right? It's pretty wild.
Yeah.
And as we move forward, it's going to be crucial to have these, like, honest conversations about how we use this technology and how we can make sure it benefits everyone.
This has been an incredible conversation. I feel like my brain is buzzing.
Me too. It's not every day you get to peek into the future like this.
Speaking of the future, I can't help but wonder what the next big breakthrough might be. What are you most excited to see? like in the years to come?
Good question. One area that I'm super excited about is the development of like even more sophisticated sensors and algorithms. Imagine devices that can not only track movement, but also measure things like muscle activation, heart rate variability, even brain activity.
Wait, brain activity? Now that's taking it to a whole other level.
Right. By combining all that data, we could get a truly like holistic picture of athletic performance, from the physical to the mental. We could finally unlock the secrets of like peak performance and start developing training programs that are totally personalized to each individual.
Whoa, measuring brain activity while someone's playing sports, that would be incredible. Like we could actually see what's going on in their heads, how they make decisions when they're under pressure, maybe even train them to like focus better and be more resilient, right?
Yeah. We could see how different training programs affect brain activity and how that translates to their actual performance. We could even see how like motivational techniques impact them. It's like a whole new world of sports science.
It's like we're moving from biomechanics to like neuromechanics.
Ooh, I like that, neuromechanics. It really captures this whole idea of combining physical and mental training, which is definitely where we're headed.
And this tech could be huge for like rehab and recovery too, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Imagine using these sensors to see exactly how an athlete's body is responding to those rehab exercises. We could actually see their progress in real time and like tweak their program to optimize their recovery and prevent them from getting injured again.
That's amazing. It's so much more precise than what we're doing now. It takes all the guesswork out of it.
It would be a total game changer for athletes who are recovering from injuries, helping them get back to their peak performance quicker and, you know, safer.
Okay, so we've talked about a lot here. High-tech ski hats, brainwave monitoring, personalized rehab programs. It's a lot to take in. But if there's one thing you want our listeners to remember from this deep dive, what would it be?
I think the biggest takeaway is that this technology is just getting started, and it has the potential to, like, completely change the game. We're on the verge of this revolution in sports performance. The way we train, the way we compete, even the way we think about movement, it's all going to be transformed. And who knows, maybe this technology won't just change things for elite athletes. Maybe it'll make sports and fitness more accessible and fun for everyone.
I love that. Imagine a world where everyone, no matter how good they are or what their physical abilities are, could benefit from this kind of personalized feedback. It would be amazing.
I can't wait to see what the future holds.
Yeah.
A future where technology helps us all reach our full potential, not just as athletes, but as human beings.
That's a great note to end on. Thanks for joining me for this deep dive. I don't know about you, but my mind is racing with possibilities.
Mine too. It's been a great conversation.
And to everyone listening, keep exploring, keep pushing those limits, and stay tuned for the next deep dive where we'll uncover even more fascinating insights from the world of sports and tech. Until then, stay curious.